ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम द सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 51। अहं वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मभूतभावनः शब्द ब्रह्म परम ब्रह्म ममो भेषाश्वती तनु अहम। ट्रांसलेशन। ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज मूविंग एंड नॉन मूविंग आर बाय एक्सपेंशंस एंड आर सेपरेट फ्रॉम मी आर माय एक्सपेंशंस एंड आर सेपरेट फ्रॉम मी। आई एम द सुपर सोल ऑफ ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स एंड हु एग्जिस्ट बिकॉज आई मैनिफेस्ट देम। I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternal blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. So, yesterday, part of the purport was discussed. So, today we will be reading from the second part of the purport. All material activities are actually illusory, and progress in illusion is simply a waste of time. These illusory activities are called akarya, and one must learn of them from the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanah, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One must learn of these directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who as Ananta Dev is instructing King Chitraketu because of the advanced stage of devotional service, which he achieved by following the instructions of Narada and Angira. Herein it is said, Aham vai sarva bhutani. The Lord is everything, including the living entities and the material or physical elements. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumi rapona lavayu kham mano buddhire vacha ahankari iti yamme binna prakritrashtada apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jeev bhuta mahabaho yedham dharite jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separate material energies. Besides this inferior energy, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of the living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The living entities tries to lord it over the material or physical elements, but both the physical elements and the spiritual spark are energies emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham vai sarva bhutani. I am everything. Just as heat and light emanate from fire, these two categories, the physical elements and the living entities, emanate from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham vai sarva bhutani. I expand the physical and spiritual categories. Again, the Lord as a super soul guides the living entities who are conditioned by the physical atmosphere. Therefore, he is called Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavanaha. He gives the living entity the intelligence with which to improve his position so that he may return home back to Godhead. Or if he does not want to go back to Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence with which to improve his material position. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. From within, the Lord gives the living entities the intelligence with which to work. Therefore, the previous verse said that after the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, endeavors, our endeavors begin. We cannot independently endeavor or act upon anything. Therefore, the Lord is Bhut Bhavanah. Another specific feature of the Lord given in this verse is that Shabda Brahma is also a form of the Supreme Lord. In his eternal blissful form, Lord Krishna is accepted by Krishna as Param Brahma. A living entity in the conditioned stage accepts something illusory as substantial. This is called Maya or Avidya, ignorance. Therefore, according to the Vedic knowledge, one must become a devotee and one must then distinguish between Avidya and Vidya, which are elaborately explained in the Ishvamanishad. When one is actually on the platform of Vidya, he can personally understand the personality of Godhead in his forms like those of Lord Ram, Lord Krishna and Shankarshan. The Vedic knowledge is described as a breathing of the Supreme Lord and activities begin on the basis of Vedic knowledge. Therefore, the Lord says that when he endeavors or breathes, the material universes come into existence and various activities gradually develop. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, I am the syllable Om in all the Vedic mantras. Vedic knowledge begins with the vibration of the transcendental sound Pranava Omkara. The same transcendental sound is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Abhinatvan Nam Naminoho. There is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself. Hare Krishna. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that how all material activities are actually illusory and progress in illusion is simply a waste of time. So, we can see that in the Vedic literatures, many times this word illusory is used, emphasized to the readers of the audiences of the Vedic literatures that they are in illusion. And we can see in this pastime of Chitraketu, Maharaj Chitraketu, that how he was in illusion, he wanted a son. And he got a son. He was unhappy in the beginning. He thought that I want a son and that's how I will be happy. And he gets a son, but he's still not happy. And then he loses a son and again he's unhappy. So this is an example, classic example of how illusion works in this world. And finally we see in the example of Chitraketu that how he got the association of Narada, and by his following his instructions, he actually perfected his life and got over the illusion and directly is getting the audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here is the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna directly speaking to Maharaj Chitraketu. So we can understand that how important this conception of illusion is, which the Vedic literatures time and again is emphasizing on us. As it is explained in the Vedic literatures that there are two kinds of energies of the Lord. One is the Prakshayapatmika Shakti and the other one is the Aranatmika Shakti. The Aranatmika Shakti actually covers the living entities and Prakshayapatmika Shakti kicks the living entities. So this is a very powerful energy of the Lord which not many people of this world actually know. So one is the kicking potency, one is the covering potency, covers you up, and there is another covering which covers the covering, so you don't even see that you are covered. So this is a very fantastic phenomenon actually, that you don't know that you are covered. That's why in illusion people think that, I'm not in illusion. Everyone thinks that they are right. So you know, just like when we were in college, we used to do that. You know, when someone would, you know, some friends would come into the hostel, the lights would be off, and as soon as friend would come inside, you know, some of us would take a blanket and throw it over that friend, and he's all covered up, and all the other friends come out from their hiding places and keep slapping him on the head. And after they slap him, and by the time he's trying to get out of that entanglement, all the boys run out of the room. So he really doesn't know who beat him up. You know, at the end of the whole banging, he's really surprised. Hey, what happened? Some ghost around this place or what? But he knows, of course, that it is one of his friends were playing a prank. So this is exactly what material nature does to all the living entities. Puts a blanket on them and then beats them up. And no one really knows that what's the cause of all this suffering. Why am I miserable in this world? No one knows. So this is the wonderful arrangement of the Lord. At first he covers them up and kicks them. So this is the illusion, Avaranatmika Shakti, the power of illusion. And that's why we see that there are such intelligent people in this world. People, you know, carrying these double degrees, triple degrees, PhDs, and, you know, these great scientists coming up with great inventions. And they study the atom, and they study the you know, the organisms, the DNA, and all that. Recently, in our six-session course, I was showing one documentary, and in that, you know, in that they're showing the cell, the DNA cell, which contains all the information packed up, the blueprint, the assembly instruction for construction of the cells of the living being. You know, the assembly instructions. So there are some organizations who are trying to convince the people that so much of information is there in the DNA molecule. Now, information, where does it come from? If there is information, which means that there is knowledge. You know, it's not gibberish, but knowledge. So if there is information in the DNA, an assembly instruction for the construction of the whole living being, you know, the color of the eyes, the color of the skin, the color of the hair, to what height a person grows, how fat a person will be by the time he's 30. Everything is so amazingly coded in the DNA molecule. Information. And the scientists are seeing all that, but still they miss the point. They really cannot come to the understanding that it is God who put the instructions in the DNA. They can't see the reality. They miss the reality. How is it that they are so intelligent and they miss this point? They have such amazing knowledge about the cell and everything about the universe right now, but still they miss the point. Why? Goes to show how powerful the illusion is. That even if they can come so close to understanding that there is information there, but still they miss the point that someone has kept the information there. Some intelligent person has actually designed it. So this is a very important principle. Therefore, genius, one of the acharyas, Jiva Goswami, has so wonderfully shaken the basis of the modern materialistic society by explaining the defects that human beings have. He says, Karana Karanapatava Vipralipsa Brahman Pramat. That human beings have defective, limited senses. And because of which, there is a tendency to make mistakes. And because of that, they go into illusion. And they have a cheating propensity. So all living beings are having this basic problem that they have limited senses and they tend to go into illusion. So with this knowledge, a person must actually develop some humility and understand that I cannot really understand all of reality. But still, there are a class of people, namely the materialistic scientists, who claim to understand all of reality. Who say that, okay, we have understood the whole universe. Some scientist sitting in the laboratory and mixing some chemicals, creating some red, blue liquid, thinks that he knows the entire universe. It's so stupid. It's so insane. Even Einstein, one of the great scientists, he said that that this modern science cannot help us even understand the whole of material nature. Even with the knowledge of modern science, we cannot understand the whole of nature. Such was a declaration, a humble declaration to all of the scientist class that we cannot understand nature. But still today, most of the people have more faith on the scientists when they say that there are 300 billion stars in the sky. Oh, really? Must be true. But when you say that there is a spiritual world beyond this material sky, huh? Really? And then there will be 1,000 questions. How can you say so? Why do you think so? Can you prove it? Can you prove God's existence? And there are so many logics and so many questions in order to why? Because people don't have faith. So basically, the world has now turned in such a way such that the illusion has become so strong that now people have started putting more faith on what the newspapers say. Anything which comes in the newspapers, perfect, has to be true. Gospel truth. Vedas, it is mythology. This is the condition of this universe. Why? Because of illusion. Illusion is so strong that you cannot understand the Lord. You will miss the point. And we can see that what are the different kinds of illusions which are there in this world? What are the fallouts of these illusions? To think that I am this body. That's another illusion. You know, it is interesting to note that just to prove that God doesn't exist, the scientists have come out with so many theories. What is that? Darwin's evolution theory, biological evolution theory, the chemical evolution theory. Then we have the Big Bang theory. And we have the chance theory. Quite amazing. So many theories to prove that God doesn't exist. So why? One has to understand. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritah mudhoyam na vijanati mam ebhya param avyayam. That I reserve the right to be known. So he covers us or all the living entities by his illusory energy, the avaranatmika shakti. We cannot know. Why? Because when the living entity wants to enjoy, then immediately this illusion comes into existence. It's the Lord's power. Just like when the darshan is closed, you can't see the Lord. It's like that. So when the darshan is closed, you can't know what the Lord is, who the Lord is. But the moment one develops an attitude of service, gives up the enjoying mentality, one develops detachment, illusion is vanished. Illusion is gone. And you can see the reality for what it is. This is a very important principle. The moment one develops a desire to enjoy, blanket. Moment he feels, let me develop some detachment from this world. Let me serve. Immediately the illusion is gone. And one sees the world in the true perspective. So therefore, these theories, because the motivation is to somehow move away from God so that we can justify our sense gratification. So we can understand. that illusion is a very important aspect of existence. Illusion is a very important aspect of illusion. Actually, without illusion, there cannot be existence. Because one may ask, why doesn't just Krishna appear in front of all the living beings and proclaim, I am God, and remove all doubts in the minds of people? Why are you speculating? Here I am, I'm God. Why doesn't he do that? So here is the principle of the free will. As long as the living entity wants to enjoy, the Lord doesn't want to interfere with their free will to enjoy. So he keeps himself isolated and thoroughly convinces everyone that he doesn't exist, so that they can continue with their sense gratification and enjoyment without any stress. Because if you knew the reality that God is watching us always, this is all God's property, how is it possible for anyone to enjoy? So this is a very important principle. So we don't know who Krishna is. And we can see that even the pure devotees of the Lord, they also don't know who Krishna is. Like Yashoda, Mother Yashoda also doesn't know who Krishna is. She doesn't know that Krishna is God. So Yashoda doesn't know Krishna is God, and we also don't know Krishna is God. Amazing. So in one sense, we are as good as them. One may think, no. But that kind of illusion brings the person closer to God. That is, yoga maya brings the devotees closer to Krishna. That illusion brings one more closer to Krishna. But this kind of illusion takes one away from Krishna. So therefore, this illusion is so strong. And the fallout we can see, so many fallouts of this illusion is, I am this body. And this is my extension of the body. Like Maharaj Chitraketu. His illusion was that if I get a son, I will be happy. And Narad Muni told him that it is not in your destiny. Even if you get a son, that son is going to be the cause of your misery. And actually, Narad Muni wanted to explain that a son is just an example. Not just a son, but everything in material life is a source of misery. It may be a son in this case in Maharaj Chitraketu. Or if it is a husband and the wife, or if the wife is a husband, or if the brother is a sister, or sister is a brother, everyone in material life is a source of misery, is a source of suffering in this world. A son was just an example which Narad Muni gives Chitraketu to teach him a lesson that in material life everything are sources of misery. So this is a very important part of Narad Muni's instruction to Chitraketu. And we can see that and we start thinking that I am this body. Like there is one pastime. Now recently there was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's disappearance day. And he writes in, Stephen Rosen, he writes in his autobiography of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj that once Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was in the ashram, and he found that there were some devotees making discrimination on the basis of body, on the color. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was very Ghanshyam Das at that time. He was very disturbed. And he thought, I should take this matter to Srila Prabhupada. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and he says, I am very sorry to say, Srila Prabhupada, but in your movement, there are people who are making this bodily discriminations. They are making judgments on the basis of the body. And Srila Prabhupada explained that if there are people who are making discrimination on the basis of the body, then it is their nonsense. And if you are taking it seriously and you are becoming affected by it, then that's your nonsense. And it's amazing to see that many times we are also faced with that situation. You know, many times when we are traveling by local trains, it's a common thing. Today only when I was coming from Vidya Vihar, holding some baggage, one person is pushing my bag and trying to go ahead. He's in a hurry. So I was just wondering, why is he pushing me? So anyway, he went ahead. And I was just simply walking. He's pushing me and he's going ahead and he's abusing me. He's saying, oh, why? You are in no hurry. You don't know the value of time. And I'm looking at him and he's, my God. For a moment, I was affected and I was thinking, my God, That's his nonsense that he's disturbed. But why should I be disturbed? If I'm disturbed, then that's my nonsense. So why all these disturbances that people are actually experiencing? Because of that strong identification with the body. Like when Srila Prabhupada once said that when two devotees are fighting, both are at fault. Because if there is some offense which is done, if a person is beyond the bodily conception, he doesn't take the offense. He does not perceive that an offense has been committed because he's not on the bodily conception. But why is there so much of pain in the society? Because there's so much of bodily identification. The Srila Prabhupada, he always came down to the basics to say that, this is what it is. We are not the body. And he explained that once when Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture and he was telling that you are not the body. I am not this body. Srila Prabhupada was giving very strongly a lecture. And the audience was sitting there. They were looking and thinking, yes, probably Srila Prabhupada is speaking for himself. Prabhupada is not his body. But we are our bodies. So this was the conception that people were having, so strongly rooted in the bodily identification. Oh, I am an engineer, I am an MBA, I am a brahmachari, or I am a grastha, or I am a vanaprastha, or I am a sannyasi, or I am a brahman, I am a kshatriya, I am a vaishya, I am a shudra, or I am a, I am a manager, I am a temple president, or I am a whatever, all designation, and we identify with these positions so strongly. So this is a fallout of this illusion aspect of the Lord's energy. So this is what keeps us. That we cannot understand the Lord because of this bodily identification. Just like last year I was in Jagannath, recently there was a Jagannath Rath Yatra. So I was traveling by rickshaw, local rickshaw. And I asked the rickshaw man, "Or Prabhuji, aap Jagannath ji ka darshan lene jaate ho kabhi?" So, "Jagannath ji ka darshan? Kyun bhala? Why should I go to take darshan of Lord Jagannath? Naam bada, kaam chota." I was shocked. I thought, oh my God, he's supposed to be a dhamvasi here. He's supposed to have so much respect. But then he was saying that, no, ultimately I want food. I am going to work, then I will get money for my existence. He is not going to provide. I have to work, he is telling me. How will I get my food? Whole day I just keep chanting God's names. Will I get food? No, this is all nonsense. And he is telling, big name but small work of Lord Jagannath. So this is another power of the illusory energy, that we start thinking that even the form of the Lord is illusion. You can be so close and yet so far. And this is a very important a part of existence, we can see. Many people do not even believe that the Lord exists in his deity form. And you can see the fallout of it. When the Muslims attacked India, they broke so many temples. So many temples. Why? Because they don't believe in the deity form. So this is another fallout of these illusions. That not to identify what is, they identify something true to be false, and something false to be true. So this is the climax. And here Srila Prabhupada says, in this illusion, all activities are simply a waste of time. Progress in illusion. When Srila Prabhupada was in 1969, when this NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, that department was sending their man on the moon for the first time, and all the people, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, was glued to the television in amazement and in fascination. To see that how advanced human beings have become by their advancement in science and technology. But Srila Prabhupada was in the least interested in what is happening. He was not impressed. Why we get impressed by something? Impression means what? Many times we get inspired by all these technological gadgets which come. And you feel, wow, what a wonderful thing, and start using it. To the more we are impressed and inspired by the illusory energy, to that extent, to that degree, we are not inspired by the Lord. It's internal energy.
And Srila Prabhupada manifested those values within his heart. We could see that, the disciples could see that he wasn't the least interested in what is going on this television. People walking, bouncing. Oh, just see Srila Prabhupada, how are they walking on the moon? Prabhupada said, really? How is it on the moon? It's like a desert. Just like how there are deserts on the earth, Srila Prabhupada said, probably that is where they have gone. And Prabhupada made a statement. At that time, one of his disciples, Yamuna Mataji, she was offering bhoga to the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada said, this simple act of offering food to the Lord is far more important than this whole lunar excursion, going to the moon and all this. It's simply a waste of time. Simply offer the food. Yamuna Mataji, she's doing the most important service. And all this, waste. It's a very deep statement. And even materially we can analyze. 1969 is a long time back. It's 2007 now. And what is the benefit that human society has gained by that lunar landing? Nothing. Prabhupada said, you go to the moon, what are you going to do there? Even if you build societies on the moon, you build colonies on the moon, you're going to eat, sleep, mate and defend. That's all. Srila Prabhupada said that the excursion to the moon is like a dog's jumping. A dog jumps. No one sees. But dog jumps higher, still no one sees. Who's cared for a dog's jumping? So just like that, men are also jumping. Higher, jump into space. Jump a little higher, they go to the moon. And now, jump more higher, going to Mars. It is nothing but, Prabhupada said, better than a dog's jumping. Why? Because effectively, human beings have not gone beyond eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Simply a waste of time. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, the progress in illusion is therefore a complete waste. These illusory energies are called as akarya, and one must learn from them the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can understand like this. So Srila Prabhupada writes about the importance of taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. He's just like Maharaj Chitraketu took guidance from Narada and achieved perfection. Similarly, it is a good message to the living entities who have realized that they are in illusion, must take guidance at every step, every walk of their spiritual life from a bona fide spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada writes here that one must accept a bona fide spiritual master. Why? Because what is spiritual life? It's very difficult to understand. What is karma? It's very difficult to understand. Karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha. Akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gati. It's very difficult. We need guidance at every walk of life. But why don't people approach a spiritual master? Is a question. Why don't people go to get guidance? Because they don't want to surrender. They want to be independent of for enjoying their so-called selfish material desires. That is the reason. When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he took his disciples for the first time to Vrindavan. So all the disciples were so excited. They thought that, wow, now Srila Prabhupada has taken us to Vrindavan and now he will tell us some esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the groves, in the kunjas of Vrindavan. And they were just waiting that when will Srila Prabhupada reveal the deep secrets of the amorous pastimes of Radha and Krishna, for which we have been longing from the core of our hearts. But to their amazement, Srila Prabhupada didn't speak a single word. Finally, he spoke one word. That was when Srila Prabhupada saw a truck. And on the truck it was written, cement. And Srila Prabhupada said, eyes opened wide. And he said, cement. So all the disciples came to know that devotional service means
practical activity. So therefore, many times, people, out of their laziness, don't want to approach spiritual masters because they know ending up with a spiritual master means ending up with responsibilities, which means no time for their selfish interests. So this is what it is. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada always emphasized on practical devotional service. Once Yamuna Mataji, she was telling her realizations that there was a time when she became so afraid that Srila Prabhupada would chastise her. She kept away and she didn't come to meet Srila Prabhupada as frequently as she used to do. So Srila Prabhupada asked, what happened? Where is Yamuna? So disciples told Srila Prabhupada about her whereabouts. And Srila Prabhupada called her and spoke to her and said, why have you been absconding? And she said that Srila Prabhupada was afraid that you will chastise me and you will scold us. And so Srila Prabhupada said, I am the spiritual master. I am the representative of Baldev, Balaram. And just like Balaram, he pulled Yamuna, you know, that with his plow. You know, when Yamuna didn't concede to his request, so similarly, I will pull you, you know, into devotional service whenever I need, because I'm a spiritual master. That's what I'm supposed to do. So one must not abscond from receiving practical advice and guidance from authorities and take guidance in spiritual life. Once one devotee was telling that there was one class of students who, when they would see the brahmacharis from far away, then they will take an about turn and they will escape from somewhere. Because they know, means meeting devotees would mean that, you know, some seva. So better to just escape and stay aloof from all that. So here, therefore, it is said that Srila Prabhupada explains that one must take guidance of authorities and take shelter of the Vedic literatures, which he says is non-different from the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in order to come out of illusion, in illusion we think that what is real is unreal and what is unreal is real. And one of the illusions is that to think that even Vedic literatures is illusion. It is written by some ordinary man, as some many people believe, it's mythology. So Srila Prabhupada says that we must take practical guidance from this. And Krishna explains that how that Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani, that Lord is everything. Krishna explains, I am everything. So this is a very important realization. Out of illusion we think that God is nowhere, but here Krishna is explaining that I am everywhere. This is the power of illusion of the Lord. Krishna says, Rasoham apshu kaunteya prabhasmi shashi suryayo pranava sarve vedeshu shabdakhe paurisham nitrishu. As Rasaraj Prabhu, he was explaining in one conference, that how do we understand that the Lord is a taste of water? How do we understand that? So he gives an example of a novel, that when we read a novel, a book, a very funny novel, and you ask someone, how did you find the novel? And he says, oh, amazing, it's really amazing, it's so funny. But actually when you say it's funny, what's so funny about a novel? The book cannot be funny. The ink cannot be funny. The paper cannot be funny. What's so funny about a book? So when you say the book is funny, it's not actually the book that's funny. It's actually the author who has presented his thoughts within the book which is funny. So the book acts as a medium to connect the person who's reading with the author. So the book is a medium to connect the reader with the author. And it is the author who's funny, and that's what the whole thing is all about. So similarly, when you say the taste of water, what is actually the taste of water? That is Krishna. The water has no taste, but it is Krishna who is actually giving us the taste. So that water acts like a medium to connect us with the Lord. And when we get that knowledge forms a basis of being connected with the Lord and realizing that actually the Lord is everywhere. Hiranyakashipu said, where is the Lord? He couldn't see the Lord anywhere. And on the opposite hand, Prahlad Maharaj was seeing the Lord everywhere. This is illusion. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that Sarva Bhutani, that Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani, I am everywhere. And he says that next in the next paragraph that the Supreme Lord is in the holy name.
అభినత్వం నామ నామిన నామ చింతామణి కృష్ణ చైతన్య రస విగ్రహ పూర్ణ శుద్ధ నిత్యముక్త అభినత్వం నామ నామిన దర్ ఇస్ నో డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ లార్డ్ అండ్ హిస్ నేమ్ దెర్ఫోర్ హీ సేస్ దట్ వీ మస్ట్ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద హోలీ నేమ్స్ హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే సో ఇన్ దిస్ ఇల్యూజరీ వరల్డ్ దట్ ఈస్ ది ఓన్లీ రియాలిటీ జస్ట్ లైక్ మెనీ పీపుల్ ఆర్ యునో గో ఇన్ టు దిస్ సైబర్ స్పేస్ sit onto the computer, go into the... So, what happens is, when you sit on a computer, on an internet, you forget what's around you. And you get absorbed on the computer. And people after 12, 13 hours, they realize, oh my God, this whole time, 12 hours has passed by. So what it does is, it's an illusion that you forget what reality is, but it's just not forgetting what reality is, but another reality is presented, an illusion is presented to you. And you enter into the cyberspace and then you go into Orkut. Recently we had a program in one college. Program is becoming little successful and we realized one boy, he was like, became envious of the programs and seeing devotees attend the program, that he went into cyberspace and opened an anti-ISKCON preaching website. And he was inviting people, please join the club. So what happens now? How can we attack such people? Many times devotees, they go and open a website, just like we have ISKCON websites, where people can go and access true information, authorized websites. So it takes one to go into illusion to get people out of illusion. So similarly, the Lord has this ancient technique. He comes in this world in the form of His holy name to wake us up. So when you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, it's like waking us up, like an alarm clock. When you are deep in sleep, thinking, oh, I'm in this world, I'm on this land, oh, I'm become the Prime Minister of India, oh, I've become the whatever. And immediately you hear the alarm ring. And we dream that, oh, it is this alarm ringing. I have to wake up and I have to join the... You know, I have to do the services. And when you wake up and you realize after some time that actually this alarm is not in the dream, but actually it is actually in reality. And slowly, slowly you come out of the dream state and you enter into the reality and you realize, oops, this is your alarm clock ringing here. And you switch it off and you wake up and you do your normal duty. So similarly, the holy name is there by which we can take shelter of and slowly, slowly wake out of reality and see reality for what it is. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.